Today we'd like to see the title of Be Upon Him in Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 1 to 32. To the souls on this online world through podcast or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest three expositional questions. You may click on music videos, Maranatha worship songs here. What the other one, CCM videos, a ministry of CCAH Press, music videos, click on there too. Question 1 in verse 2. What do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge? What does it mean? And what can we learn from here? Question 2 in verse 20. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. What does it mean? And what can we learn from here? Last question 3 in verse 32. For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. What does it mean? And how can you apply it to our lives? The last time in Ezekiel, chapter 17, verse 20 to 24, the said the Lord God, I will take also one of the highest branches of the high cedar and set it up. I will crop off from the topmost of its young to its tender one, and will plant it on a high and prominent mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it, and it will bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be majestic seed. Under it will dwell birds of every sort. In the shadow of its branches they will dwell, and all the trees of the field shall lie there. I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree and exalted the low tree, dried up the green tree, made the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. God brings judgment against their evil, but the hope through Ezekiel, God would plant the tender one or tender twigs, the Messiah, from one of the highest branches or a rod. God will raise up the low tree, the tender branch, and make of it a great tree, that the world will find a place of refuge under its branches. He is going to set up God's kingdom upon the earth. The kingdom shall last, stand, flourish, and bring forth fruit. God's nature is to lift up the humble, and to humble the proud or the arrogant. All cross-referenced here. Ezekiel delivered God's word to the captive people of Judah in the fifth year of Babylon's second captivity in 597 before Christ. 592 before Christ. That is 592. people Christ. In the light of Ezekiel, chapter 1, verses 2 to 3, on the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of Chaldeans by the river Sheba. And the hand of the Lord was upon him here. First one, question one. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, the captive people thought that they are suffering as a result of the sin of their father, such as idolatry or disobedience, saying, our fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Since God says, the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, in the second commandment of the Ten Commandments. In the following verses, God corrected their thought, even if we are affected by the sins of their ancestors. Our suffering is not resulted directly from the sin of our fathers. What do you mean when you use the proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers they have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? Verse 3, as I live, said the Lord God, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. The dog proverb was a popular, but it is not true proverb. Verse 4, behold, all souls are mine, the soul of the father as well as the soul of the son of is mine. The soul who sins shall die. All souls, either father's soul or the son's soul, are created by God. 5, but if a man is just and does what is lawful and right, God wants us to live a righteous life or to live by faith. One who is just does what is lawful and right, living up to God's standards. Verse 6, if he has not eaten on the mountains, nor lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled the neighbor's wife, nor approached a woman during her impurity. One who lives up to God's standards has not eaten meat or food offered to the false god on the mountains and so on. Verse 7, if he has not oppressed anyone, but he has restored to the debtor his plus, has robbed no one by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry, and covered the naked with clothing, restored to the debtor his pledge, means the lender returned the cloak that the debtor had given as a security for a loan, allowing debtor to use it each night. Without the cloak, the debtor would have been cold during the night. Cross reference right there. Verse 8. If he had not exacted usury, nor taken any increase, but has withdrawn his hand from iniquity, and exacted to judgment between man and man. Usury, or exorbitant interest, or extraordinary interest on the loaned money, is prohibited for God's people. Cross reference right here, also New Testament too. Reasonable interest would be okay. So, verse 9, because the both win, the debt, you know, they can use, you know, that loan of money for property making business. You know, so also, the land, you know, can make reasonable interest, continuing the land money to needy people. Verse 9, if he had walked in my statutes and kept my judgment faithfully, he is just, he shall surely live, says the Lord God. God is advocating these things as righteous, as just, as good. Starts out with relationship or fellowship. Then it goes to your relationship, fellowship with your fellow people. Fellowships with God. If you follow God's commands, you will live this way in verses 6 to 9. Verse 10, if he begets a son who is a robber or a shedder of blood, who does any of these things and does none of those duties, but has eaten on the mountains or defiled his neighbor's wife, if he has oppressed the poor and needy, robbed by violence, not restored the plight, lifted his eyes to the idols, or committed abomination, if he has exacted usury or taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. If he has done any of these abominations, he shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Anyone who has done any of the abominations shall surely die. Each person is responsible their own conduct or wrong, right? 14:18. If, however, he begets a son who sees all the sins which his father has done and considered but does not do likewise, who has not eaten on the mountains, nor lifted his eyes to the idol of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, has not oppressed anyone, nor withheld a plight, nor robbed by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry, and covered the naked with clothing, who has withdrawn his hand from the poor, and not received usury or increase, but has exacted my judgment and worked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live. Even if your family traditions go against God strongly influence you, you still have the choice not to follow, continue those ways. Every person will be judged by God individually and must give an account for their own life. You are not responsible for anyone else, only yourself. When you stand before God, the only life will answer for is your own. So that's the answer. You know. Verse 20, 18 to 19. Yet you say, you should the son not bear the guilt of father, because the son has done what is lawful and right, has kept all my statute, observe them, he shall surely live. So this one is 14 to 19. Then 20, question 2. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. The Bible gives two definitions of death. First, there is a physical death when your consciousness separates from your body. This is described in phrases like he gave up the ghost, or it's appointed for people to die once. Second, there is spiritual death when your consciousness is separated from God. To have a spiritual life, you must experience a spiritual birth, as Jesus said, being born of water and the spirit. Water it means the wash up in God's word. Understood, you know, can apply, you know, into your heart, you know, then spirit, Holy Spirit. What's born from flesh is only flesh, but what's born from the spirit is a spirit. Even after physical death or at the time of the rapture, if you are spiritually alive, you will still be in fellowship with God and aware of his presence. We have building from God eternal in heaven. But the soul that sins will die spiritually. A righteous father can't save the unrighteous son, and the son won't count righteous because of his father's goodness. Each person is accountable for their own life. That's why we should choose to live by the spirit, not by desires of the flesh or lust of the flesh. verse 21. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins, which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does it what is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. There is forgiveness, there is pardon. God will wash you and cleanse you from your sin. So he shall live. Verse 22, none of transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. Because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. God's forgiveness is complete and final. Once he forgives, he never brings your past sin up again. There is gone for good, wiped away completely. He doesn't hold them against you or bring them back to accuse you. That's the beauty of divine forgiveness. When God forgives, it's over, it's finished, and he never mentions it again. That's why his mercy endures forever. 1 Chronicles 16:23. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? God is both loving and just. His perfect love leads him to show mercy to those who repent and confess, but his justice means he does not ignore sin. The wicked die both physically and spiritually, yet God takes no place in their death. He desires that they turn to him, receive eternal life. Therefore, each of us should choose to turn to him. 24. But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteous which he has done shall not be remembered. Because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty, and the sin which he has committed, because of them he shall die. He is spiritual die. If a righteous person turns away from living rightly, begin to rebel against God, the Lord says his past righteousness will be forgotten. It won't be remembered, and he will die in his sin. There's a cross-reference, Galatians 5:18. That's why we should live it by the Spirit, not by flesh. 25, yet you say the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way which is fair, and your ways which are not fair? The way of the Lord is not fair. In reality, God is fair, but we have broken the law of God. Instead of our ideas of fairness, fairness is upon God's standards. 26:28. When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. Again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness which he committed, and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive, because he considers and turns away from all transgressions which he committed, he shall surely die. He shall not die. There is a forgiveness with God, just turning to God. There is a forgiveness. No matter what you may have done, if you will turn to God, there is a forgiveness, there is a pardon, and there is a new life in Christ for you. 29:30. Yet the house of Israel said, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, is not my ways which are fair, and your ways which are not fair? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgression, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. there are libraries that have been destroyed because people chose to follow the desire of the flesh. So God is urging them to turn away from their sins, to avoid being ruined by their wrongdoing. Then God speaks with even greater urgency and emphasis, saying, 31, cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and new spirit, for why should you die, O house of Israel? There is an urgency there. Throw it out. Get rid of it. Don't delay. Cast it away. Get rid of it as quickly as possible. God offers to give you a new heart and bring your spirit to life. He transforms you from within, changing your desires. Where you once rejected Jesus, now you love him. It's not a struggle to let go of destruction habits. The Lord removes them and replaces them with a renewed heart and spirit. Last question, 32. For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. God is pleading once again. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He said, turn and live. The resolution to the issue of inherited sin is a personal transformation. This change isn't something we can achieve on our own. It's the work of God through the Holy Spirit. When you turn away from life of sin and rebellion and turn to God, God gives us new paths, new love, new strength to change. It starts with faith, trusting that God can transform your heart and mind. From there, choose daily to let him lead your life, the Spirit-led life. Cross reference right there. We cover this, all three questions, continue to keep on prayers or mission effort, because last week we went to Peru mission tours, planted the church, one of them. We joined there, we share gospel, the first sermon. So right here, so we took a picture, here translator, pastor, you know, Albert Sanchez, the other three the missionaries in Peru, Lima. So also we prepared for the Christian music, so lyric songs. So this is one of them. So relate to today, you know, Bible studies to come here. Your word forever true. So you may listen to it right there, YouTube. There also you can make, you know, subtitle, caption, the language, whatever language right here, Spanish. Because in Peru, people speaking, most people in Spanish, that was Spanish, we used that. Okay, may God bless you, everybody. Let's sing all together, Brush Last Song, Maranatha Song.